Moncrief on News Talk.
With the all-new Dacia Duster. We've even impressed ourselves with this one.
53106 is our text number. That will cost you 30 cents. We're joined once again by Barbara Scully and Declan Buckley for So You Think You're an Adult. Good afternoon to you both.
Hello there.
Hi there.
Barbara, have you gone anywhere now that your range of your travel is extended?
Yes, yesterday I did a marathon cycle, which for me was amazing. I cycled 15 kilometres yesterday, visiting Dalkey, Dunleary and Monkstown. Did a kind of a tour of the southern coastline, and I'm very proud of myself. And I'm still alive and I'm not dead. And actually, I honestly thought this morning when I woke up, I probably wouldn't be able to walk, but I've been walking fine. So, yeah.
Okay, how can
big achievement.
You cycled 15 kilometres, but was still within...
No, within the 5K, like, yeah. Just, you know, only, within that the only 5K came into, radius.
That only came into force today, so you're still a criminal.
No, it didn't. No, the 5K came in. The 5K came in last week, didn't it? Or the week before?
Or maybe it did, yeah, I don't know.
It did, yeah. No, today is...
Life is still an unending journey of misery. Declan, yeah. Have you taken any advantage of any of the loosening of the restrictions?
Do you know, I am actually a bit sore today because I went for a big, like a really long walk. When we had the 2K area. Oh, Barbara, stop. I mean, you know.
Yeah, a walk.
I'm walking up and down hills, Barbara. I'm not avoiding them like you are.
And he's carrying a huge bag of spuds on his on
I have
bags
I,
doing
I'm carrying yeah exactly.
Okay, let's you start your lockdown bickering, let's talk about somebody else's lockdown bickering. I'm concerned about my wife drinking since lockdown. We have both been home now since the schools closed on Friday the 13th of March. We have four children, two are in secondary school, two are in primary, and we are both trying our best to work from home. It's been very tough, to say the least. My wife is never a big drinker, nor am I. Maybe big events or the odd night out, but we rarely, if ever, drink at home. About 2 weeks into lockdown, my wife started getting very stressed about homeschooling, work, keeping the house in order. We have a 50-50 system. I'll do secondary school homeschooling, she'll do primary. We do it at different parts of the day so we can work while the other homeschools, etc. We could take it in terms to do shopping and cleaning, but my wife has been finding it harder than me. She's been drinking wine every day for the last month or more. It started as a glass in the evening, but she's easily having two or three bottles a week. 1 week it was four. Maybe that's normal for some people, but not my wife. I had asked if she thinks it's too much and the reply wasn't helpful. I'm afraid to have another argument and push her further. It's not a normal time. I get that but it's like she's on a self-destruct mode. How do I help her? Declan.
Yeah, I mean, I think many of us are aware of increased alcohol consumption around us or by us at the moment. It was the instinctive first thing that a lot of people did when they found themselves at home, stressed, worried, or bored. You know, reaching for that kind of glass of wine that they might have when they come home from work one day a week became something that they were using on a daily basis, or even socially when they're going onto these painful Zoom family meetings, you know, where you're sitting there and you kind of have to make it seem sociable. So you pour yourself a glass of wine, and before you know it, you're shame clinking your way down to the local bottle bank with way more bottles of, you know, than you planned. And you know, I'm making it sound like it's amusing, but there are obvious downsides to be concerned about. And this guy's, I'm not saying that he's overreacting. I'm not saying he's underreacting. I think he's kind of like Goldilocks, kind of right, just right. Being worried about his wife is correct, I think, because the situation that we're all in at the moment is stressful and worrying. And even if you're bored, reaching for the alcohol is possibly not the best sort of self-medication to be getting into, because obviously we know all this stuff about booze. We know what it does. We know it's a depressant. We know that we have limits to it and all that. Yet something about the current times mean we're bending our own rules. We're breaking our own, you know, norms. And some people are even acting like it's a holiday. You know that kind of, oh, I don't normally drink, but I do when I go to Gran Canaria for 2 weeks every summer. And I think people kind of took that tone at the beginning, but we're several weeks into this now at this stage. So a lot of people are at that stage where they're developing habits. And, you know, high levels of alcohol consumption are obviously not good habits to be developing. So what I wonder is what this guy's wife used to do before, you know, in the infamous before the lockdown. What was her way of you know, kind of managing her health and her happiness and her self-esteem and her, you know, joie de vivre? Because obviously, managing all the children and their education and just keeping them up preoccupied for the whole day and evening before they go to bed is really draining for everybody involved. Mm. Plus trying to keep down their work. All that stuff is really, really stressful. So the key is obviously that she wants to relax. She wants to shut her brain down. She wants to find a way to just make the whole horror go away for a bit. And I think that he needs to find something to slip into that place where the wine is. He needs to find a way to distract her. And I know that he has his own stuff going on. I'm not saying it's his only responsibility, but maybe he needs to encourage her to find her a new way to do that. A lot of people we were talking about already, exercise, going on your bike, going for walks, all that stuff. I'm doing a hell of a lot more than I usually would have because my life has changed. I'm moving around a lot less in the old ways. So I'm having to supplement my exercise and my kind of just activities in different ways. Some of it is really dull and boring and Barbara was laughing at walking. But it does stop me from reaching for the cocktail. So that's mainly what I'm doing. I'm not walking because I like it. I'm walking because I'm scared if I stay at home, I'll be knocking out another Merlot. So, you know, there's methods to my mundanity. You know, and it is taking it one day at a time as well. That's the other thing I'd say. You know, everybody needs to just get through this thing in their own way. But being aware of the damage of alcohol is very crucial, I think.
Yeah.
Barbara?
I'd go some of the way with Declan, but not all of the way with Declan. I think I would focus first of all on the fact, and I think this is something that I certainly noticed myself in the last week, that where we are right now is, as Declan said, really, really stressful. You know, in the beginning, it was a bit of a novelty. You had all these plans of the stuff you were going to do now that you had maybe some time to do it. Now we're like over 2 months in. And it's bloody hard. And it is extremely stressful. And I mean, I don't have kids in school. My two are in college. And that's bad enough, having them doing college exams at home when we're all tiptoeing around the house, not making any noise, saying Hail Marys that their Wi-Fi won't close down and wondering should we be sending them in a cup of tea or not disturbing them at all. I feel like I'm doing the exams. But I can't imagine trying to keep young children as well as teenagers focus, doing a bit of schoolwork, not meeting up with their friends, plus trying to keep your job going, two of you in the house. And I think that, you know, the problem now is that it's very hard to actually articulate that without seeming like you're not playing the game, you're not wearing your green jersey, you're not doing your bit, because there's this kind of narrative going along. And in one way, I think the government should have started to change some of the mood music and some of the messaging around now to acknowledge how tough this is and how long this has been going on for. So what I would say to the guy who's written in is first of all, you're not alone. A lot of us are finding this really, really, really tough. And the problem is that we find it hard to speak about that because it seems like we're not doing our bit. Number two, so, you know, and I mean, as Declan said, his wife's coping mechanism is to start drinking, probably a bit more than is healthy and a bit more than was normal for her. But you know what? Unless she's having wine for breakfast, I actually wouldn't worry too much about it for the moment. I think we all have to do what we have to do to get through. I think rather than him focus on her drinking or trying to talk to her about that or making any commentary about that, he should really do, and this is where I kind of agree with Declan, try and get, he mentioned they've two older kids as well as two younger kids. So perhaps the older kids could look after the younger kids and go out and have a walk. And, you know, it is amazing going out to have a walk and stopping somewhere and getting a takeaway coffee and sitting on a wall socially distant from anybody else. The weather's been reasonably good. It actually does improve your mood and it does release some of that stress. So, you know, I would say take each day as it comes. Relax a little bit about her wine drinking, but try and make sure that you talk to her about how tough this is and that it is tough. And it's okay to say, I'm hating this. I'm finding this really, really, really stressful. And try and get some time out to do something like go out and hear the birds sing and get your coffee or do whatever you need. But just I'd calm down a little bit on focusing too much, because you can get focused in on something like the wife's wine drinking and it'll become another thing. That's a bigger problem than I think maybe it actually is.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, a few comments on that. Largely echoing what the two of you are saying, maybe you should give her a break and talk to her more about her concerns rather than talking about her drinking. Pointing out flaws or whatever isn't easy to hear and probably not helpful at the moment. Somebody else says, I've noticed my drinking is out of hand. I drank Friday night, Saturday night and a bit yesterday. I didn't need it. I was simply bored. I just feel awful today. I need to stop. There is just so little to do. No, I don't. She's doing it.
I think that's kind of why I was referring to boredom. And I know I agree with Barbara, though, that at the beginning it was all, oh, let's make scones and have chats and quizzes and all that. But nowadays people are a little bit more in the, okay, what's this? What is this new normal that people are talking about? And where are we going? Because we don't have a destination and we don't know what that place is going to be. And it's obviously it's going to be economic carnage coming our way as well. So a lot of people are worried. They're worried about the future, but the present is also stressful too. So it's this weird containment. I think that the woman that we're talking about here is trying to contain her family. She's trying to contain their routine. She's trying to hold everything in a kind of a holding pattern, I beg your pardon. And it's really stressful. And it's this kind of, so she needs a pressure valve release at the end of the day. I totally think it's fine to reach for a glass of wine, but I do also know that after weeks and weeks and weeks of drinking every day, that's just not good for your body, particularly if your body's not used to it. You're just building up your alcohol tolerance and you're just building up this new habit that might be as difficult to undo as any of the other problems we're going to be facing into. So just being aware of it rather than being lecturing about it or whatever is a good thing, I think.
Yeah, I think possibly as well, because it sounds like they weren't particularly big drinkers. So he doesn't have a sense, perhaps, of what's too much, if you know what I mean. Whereas, like, what he's described might be perfectly normal for people, even in...
although it probably COVID. Is... It probably is too much. I remember going to the doctor before I fell out of love with wine about something very simple. And the doctor said to me, do you drink? And I went, yeah. And she goes, much? And I went, about two glasses. And she goes, a week. And I went, no, nice. And she goes, and you think that's not a lot? And I'm like, no. And she said, no, that is too much. So I do think that, you know, everybody has their own idea as to what's too much. And I think most people are actually wrong.
Yeah, you're probably.
So,
And you fell out of love with wine.
Yeah, I started to get another gift of menopause, that bitch that comes along and gifts you all kinds of things, including hay fever. But yeah, it gifted me migraines so that I started, as you get older, you can't tolerate alcohol as much anyway. But then my hangover morphed into a migraine where if I drank on Friday, for example, Saturday and Sunday, very often I was useless. So in the end, I gave up. Now, I am happy to say that since I became diabetic and cut sugar out of my diet and lost weight, I can tolerate a little bit of alcohol again. So I'm having quite an interesting and fruitful relationship with gin.
Okay, good to know.
There you go.
Yeah. My next question. My roommate moved his girlfriend in during lockdown, and it's been a bit of a nightmare. She's nice, and I like my roommate. They cook and include me in it, so I get meals handed to me sometimes, which is nice. They're clean and are tidy enough. As people, they are actually good fun to be around. The issue is that they have incredibly loud sex. It can be in the middle of the day while I'm on a work meeting. They are loud at night and stop me from sleeping. I've walked in on them in the sitting room now twice and once in the kitchen. They're very apologetic in these instances, but I don't know how to tell them to calm it down. I now wonder, is them being so nice with all the cooking and cleaning a way of them making sure I don't give out, keeping me sweet as such? It all seems a bit much. Barbara.
Awkward.
Yeah.
Do you know, I always laugh when you hear the phrase loud sex. And I'm always wondering, I'd love somebody to define loud sex. Is somebody shouting or is there something else going on that's making loud, weird noises? But anyway, I'm assuming it's shouting and that kind of stuff. Anyway. This person needs to be very clear here. The fact that they clean up after themselves really isn't a favor. I mean, that's kind of just what you would expect as a common courtesy when you're sharing a living space. And that goes for whether you're an adult child still living at home, or you're sharing a flat with somebody. That's just basic kind of stuff. Having sex, though, all over the place when you're sharing a living space with somebody is not on, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, there's the whole hygiene thing, which starts to blow my mind. Like, what? In the living room? Where? On the sofa? Oh, no. Or in the kitchen? Where? On the table? Oh, no. So that's not on. And I would have absolutely no problem in saying that. Listen, you know, would just keep your physical Olympics to the bedroom. Because I don't really want to walk in. Plus, there's a whole load of other issues that you probably don't need to talk about. But that's definitely you don't need a ringside seat for their sex life, which you may have inadvertently if they're having it all over the place. As for being led in the bedroom, that's a more difficult issue. Are you entitled to be loud in your own bedroom? Mm. I know it's a bit awkward if you're next door and you're trying to sleep. And again, it comes back to like what loud? Like, is the bed banging off the wall, or is the bed creaking, or is there a lot of shouting and kind of like loud noises going on? In which case, maybe you could use humor to kind of get them to move the bed or oil the bed. And maybe stop with the noises, but that one is a bit more difficult. Use humor and hope for the best. But I wouldn't feel that they're buttering you up by just doing normal stuff around the house. And I wouldn't have any problem in telling them that, like, if they could keep their physical stuff to the bedroom. I'm just not sure about the noise in the bedroom. Declan probably has much more experience on this than I do, and I'm sure has a very clever insight into
Declan,
noise in your own bedroom.
Wow. Your extensive knowledge of noisy sex, Declan.
Well, there you go. Well, the first thing I want to say is, compared to the last problem, this couple seem to have their lockdown kind of behavior quite sorted. They're eating healthily and they're doing stuff that's, healthy exercise that's, elevating their moods and all that kind of stuff. So this guy sounds like he's a bit jealous, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Sex
mean. Noises. Yeah, okay, maybe a bit mean.
It's mean.
The sex noises. Look, if you're on a Zoom meeting and they're having sex in the afternoon and that's coming onto your meeting and they can hear that. That's
unfortunate
really
choice of words there, Declan.
I didn't mean that, Barbara, but thank you for
that. Yeah, I know, yeah.
Juvenile Sorry. Interpretation of my language.
Sorry.
Look, if I would have mentioned that one straight away, look, I was having a Zoom meeting with the work people and they could hear you having sex, because that's a good way to lightheartedly bring up the topic, because then you can say, and by the way, I can hear you at nighttime as well. Because like Barbara says, when you're asleep in bed, the whole world sort of takes on a sort of a silence that the smaller noises seem much louder. So a little creak of a bed or a little banging of a wall seems like it's an earthquake. So, and unfortunately, that's just one of the things you have to just put up with when you're living in shared accommodation. So I don't think he's in a position where he can complain about some of that kind of stuff. But as I said, if it's loud enough that it can be heard on a Zoom meeting with Susan from HR, then that's awkward enough that he needs to tackle that straight away. So I think he needs to say it. Lighthearted, funny that they can hear you at work. And by the way, I'm all very happy for your amorous activities, but I can hear you too. But
Declan,
that he's not. Yeah.
Do you think it's out of line that they're having sex in the living room and in the kitchen as well?
Well, I don't know what they're doing, like, Barbara,
God,
people are having sex, you don't know. Look, I don't know what people are doing anywhere, so I presume that hygiene should be brought into the picture no matter the activity, whether you're playing with plasticine or whether you're painting or whether you're making scones or having sex. Please clean up the surfaces after you. I think that's a given, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think if they're...
and they're all pretty much the same thing when you think about it.
Yeah.
Horses, of course.
Declan and Barbara, thank you both very much. We'll take a break back in a couple of minutes.
Moncrief on News Talk
with the all-new Dacia Duster. We've even impressed ourselves with this one.